Today on you are Locked On Rockies.
Let's talk
your
about
daily Colorado Rockies podcast. Options. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Rock on Rockies fans, welcome into the Locked On Rockies podcast for today, the fourth day of November in the year 2022. I'm your host of the Locked On Rockies podcast, Paul Holden, bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies talk right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find your team each and every single day. Today's episode of the Locked On Rockies podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Thank you so much for making Locked On Rockies your first listen of the day. We appreciate it. You can find us free and streaming on your favorite streaming service and streaming all of our episodes live on YouTube, where when you subscribe, you can be part of the live chat. You can ask your questions live and we get to answer them. We get to talk about the Rockies together. And who the heck am I? Well, I am your Rockies fan extraordinaire, Paul Holden, and I've been following this team my entire life, a bit of a diehard fan, and been bringing you your daily Colorado Rockies talk for a little over two seasons now. Today on Locked On Rockies, we are going to talk about more outfield options, as Renee Deckard wrote a really interesting piece in her newsletter, The Rockies Pitch. It's a really, really good thing. We're going to have it linked there when you click in the description. It's a really great weekly newsletter, and she also does a bunch of links too. So it's a wonderful Rockies resource if you are looking to get some great, great insight into the Rockies. And she really brings up some awesome Rocky stuff. Not only that, she curates a bunch of it as well. But let's dive in here, because that's going to be the theme of it, because they're really, and this is how the piece starts. The Rockies at the end of the season, and not only was it emphasized by Bill Schmidt, it's emphasized by the production. The Colorado Rockies need a power bat in the outfield. They need more offensive production in general, and it needs to be coming from, hopefully, ideally, the left side of the box in, and also from the outfield. The outfield is a place long gone are the days of a bunch of slugging outfielders for the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies are in a really interesting place with players that we've seen. They've done their tryout. We've seen multiple seasons of them, and a bunch of players that have been already exceeding expectations. We've talked a little bit about this before, and we talked about it with Zach Veen. But why I liked this piece from Renee so much was there's a prospect that we haven't talked about at all in it, and it also kind of gives some good insight into why the Rockies might not go after a big name free agent in the outfield, or do they really need to? It's a question of how much do we want to believe in what the Rockies system and the prospects got and what the Rockies already have within the system versus, you know, the Rockies can go out, spend some money. Dick can go out and spend a little money and add, and there's some really interesting options when it comes to center field for the Rockies next year. Let's dive in here to the Rockies Pitch newsletter here from Renee Deckard. In his season-ending presser, Bill Schmidt was clear. In the offseason, the Rockies would be looking for a left-handed bat, a center fielder, and someone who could slug along with some pitching depth. And the subtext suggested that, ideally, one player would meet all three criteria. That makes sense because the Rockies offense was not good in 2022. An 86 WRC plus anyone. The conventional wisdom initially was that Schmidt was hinting at soon to be free agent Brandon Nimmo, a New York Met and former resident of Cheyenne, Wyoming. There's a nice shout out as well to Skylar Timmons' piece about Nimmo being a potential Rocky over there. If you want to go check it out on Purple Rope. Initially, Renee agreed, but now she's changed her mind in the last 2 weeks. She's not so sure that she expects the Rockies to do much of anything about their outfield this season. And why? It's because the kids are starting to show what they can do, and that may be changing the calculus of the Rockies front office. The current options in the outfield for the Rockies looks like this. In 2022, the Rockies' primary outfielders were Charlie Blackmon, Chris Bryant, Jonathan Daza, Randall Grichuk, Garrett Hampson, Sam Hilliard, and Connor Joe. And the Rockies control all of these players save Blackmon, who has said he intends to return in 2023. Blackmon only spent 50 games in right field, so he's only nominally an outfielder. Renee doesn't expect Hampson, Hilliard, and Joe to be back on the Rockies roster next year, given the performances in 2022, and the Rockies are going to look to spend that money elsewhere. She posts to FanGraphs performance from all of them, and let's dive into that. This is something I think we need to prepare for. Hampson and Hilliard just aren't enough. We've seen enough of both of these players, and while they're great players and they have great assets, it's time for the Rockies and for those players to see if they can, or I mean, obviously with Rockies under having them under control, but the Rockies really need to move on from those two players. Connor Joe's the more interesting one, where he has a lot of utility value and bench depth. Connor Joe kind of provides a little bit more of what you need. I know Hampson does as well. Hilliard is primarily plays the outfield, and he's pretty darn good at some defense as well. But she points out that the Rockies will want to spend that money elsewhere. If the Rockies are going to go out in the offseason and try to get a free agent pitcher, you're going to need to be adding, enticing that with money. And we'll talk about free agent pitching next week here on the pod and if what the Rockies can do. And by not going after all of those players and saving on those three, you are going to free up a little bit of money, which can add to some incentive for going after a veteran pitcher and just being able to beef up what you might do, because the Rockies might also only be looking to offer a year or two contract as they did to Chad Kuhl there. She goes on to, let's actually just take a quick look. Jonathan Daza finished the season at 0.7 WAR, Chris Bryant at 0.6, Blackman at 0.1, Connor Joe right at 0.0, Randall Grichuk at minus 0.2, Garrett Hampson at minus 0.4, and Sam Hilliard at minus 0.5. Grichuk gives you a little bit more interest than Hampson and Hilliard. And again, as we're going to move on and see, the Rockies have some really, really interesting options when it comes to what they're going to do at the outfield next year because of the performance they saw from Sean Bouchard and Michael Tolia. And one X factor that Renee points out here as well is Wynton Bernard. And let's talk about that. But before we do that, got to tell you about some of the fine folks that help make this show possible. And that includes Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for betting this football season, this hockey season, this basketball season, any season. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your up-to-the-minute betting information, all sorts of good stuff at BetOnline.net. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth analysis on every game. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest, the easiest way to check in on all your favorites, games, and events is at betonline.net, and that includes the World Series. You're running out of chances to bet on the World Series, but it'll be right back in action for baseball. You can get ahead on some future bets there as well, but you can even do MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website, that's betonline.net, or why not use your mobile device to learn more? You can head over to betonline.net. Bet Online, where the game starts. In the live chat here, Eric Harper says, what would you do with Connor? And that means Connor Joe, I would assume, and follows up with, I really like Jonathan. Jonathan Daza will be an everyday, will be a factor, will be on their roster, and will be someone the Rockies want to turn to. Jonathan Daza has now impressed in back-to-back seasons where Hampson and Hilliard have not done that. Daza was on the brink, and it stepped up to be great. Unfortunately, the audio quality kind of got a little messed up on the video side. But we talked more about Daza. But that's, Daza brings more excitement as being one of your things. This is what I would do with Connor Joe, Eric. If you can get him for affordable, and depending on how much money you actually are willing and want to go out for, I think Connor Joe is really good for depth on your team. And he can play first, he can DH, he can play in the outfield. That's a good type of player. Now, did he underperform in the second half? Yes, but we know what Connor Joe is capable of, and we got our Connor Joe reality check. Myself included, we're all really excited. We know what Connor Joe is capable of and can do, but now we've seen an extended stretch of time where we might have gotten a little too excited, but I think Connor Joe is a really good utility player, and I'd rather have Connor Joe as my utility player than what the Rockies usually do with Garrett Hampson. Hampson, for example. And I just don't think the Rockies have gotten enough from Hampson or Hilliard to justify taking away from these rookies. As we go back to Renee's piece here, she says, consider the play of Wynton Bernard, Sean Bouchard, and Michael Tolia. To be clear, these players fall into small sample size territory, which is a key thing that we need to remember here with these players. The sample size is small, and you know that we could have had the same type of conversations with Hilliard, with Hampson, with Joe, as and things of that nature. But these are, especially Tolia, are prospects the Rockies believe in. These are the ones that they've been drafting and developing and kind of go for, and this should pan out a little bit better. They did pretty well. And let's see here. Sean Bouchard hit more home runs than Hampson and Hilliard did, despite them having significantly more plate appearances. Tolia's numbers, too, while not as impressive as Bouchard's, are an improvement over Hampson and Hilliard's. Although Bernard's fate is uncertain, and Renee says she won't be surprised if the Rockies non-tender him, he is a true center fielder and was defensively sound. Plus, Bouchard and Tolia aren't going anywhere. When these players play, and at least two of them will, they take up outfield positions, and that's before considering the possibility of Alan Trejo becoming a utility player, including an outfielder. And according to Renee, there's a link here that says it's part of his offseason training plan. If the Rockies acquire another outfielder, an already crowded outfield becomes even more contested. That's the big part right now. There are far too many. Depth is good, but the Rockies have far too much depth. And in reality, even though these sample sizes are small, I want to see more from those three players than I want to see from Hilliard and Hampson. And again, Joe might even come into that list. Where is that enough? But let's take a look again at some of those numbers here. 27 games for Sean Bouchard, 97 plate appearances. So just under 100 plate appearances, which is a pretty decent benchmark. 100 is a decent amount. 27 games, that's a solid amount of games. That's basically a month of ball. That's pretty darn good assessment of what we can look at and at least get not just small 3-4 game sample. One series sample for Sean Bouchard. 3 home runs, 9 runs, 11 RBIs, no stolen bases. He had a walk percentage of 21.6 with a strikeout percentage of 25.6 or 25.8. So a little higher on the strikeout percentage, but of course, rookie getting time at the end of the year, playing really good. The Rockies also went up against great pitching again at the end of the year as well. His BABIP at 404, leading into an average of 297, an OBP of 454, and a slugging of 500, and a WRC plus of 158, and a WAR of 0.8. His offense was much better than his defense in terms of his numbers, but that's a good sign, and it has the highest WAR out of all three of those names we're talking about. Wynton Bernard gets 12 games and 42 plate appearances. He gets 9 runs, a couple of RBIs. The 3 stolen bases was a massive part of Bernard's game, and it's going to be something that makes a team interested in him, as well as the fact that he hit 286. 286, 286, 310 with a WAR of just, at 0, so nothing too crazy. But here's the deal. He didn't get any walks. That was one thing that would be nice to see for Bernard, but he tears up the AAA. He is ready to go, and he can leave the yard, and he was doing some serious damage there. So if the Rockies don't go, someone is going to give Wynton Bernard a chance, and if the Rockies might do it, but again, that factors in. And then finally, Michael Tolia, 31 games, and Tolia is also not only going to be an outfielder. There's going to be all sorts of other things that you can look for when it comes to center field and outfield options. But Michael Tolia is looking to get into playing first base. That's a key part of the future as well. So how much do you need to rely on Tolia playing the outfield? You kind of need him to be good and contribute in the outfield, though, because he needs to get reps, and him playing in the outfield is going to be part of that. Tolia has 120 plate appearances, so he had the most plate appearances out of all of them. 2 home runs, 10 runs, 12 RBIs, a stolen base, walk 7.5, strikeout percentage at 36.7, so a little bit higher there, but goes with a 216 average, 275 OBP, and a slugging of 378, a WRC plus of 68, and a WAR of minus 0.2. So wasn't necessarily great, but there are some things to be encouraged by there. There's one player that in the farm system that we haven't talked about and is added in there. It did feel like more than two home runs. He did come up and have some good. He just showed readiness, MLB readiness, Tolia did, and that was impressive. And clearly with the attention that the Rockies have put into Tolia, they value him a lot. And like Renee says, Bouchard and Tolia aren't going anywhere. Bernard, that's a different story. But if you are going to move on from Hilliard and Hampson, you can already guarantee, you just slot Bouchard and Tolia right there, and that answers that problem, and it already goes there. Now, And these players are all kind of players that need to play. Sean Bouchard especially is going to be really interesting. I mean, if he's one that we haven't talked about, he's going to be, if he can break out and kind of play like Daza, the Rockies are going to have some really interesting outfield options. But you know what? I think Wynton Bernard has played himself for an opportunity. At least he's getting the best opportunity of his life. Is it going to pan out? Is he going to be on the Rockies, for example? I don't think so. But he showed enough to again, I'd want to see more from Wynton Bernard than Hilliard and Hampson. And I'm not sure. I always kind of hate saying that because I always feel so mean. But that's kind of the analysis. I think Bernard was bringing a little bit more interesting defense, a little bit more dynamic to the team with the stealing of the bases than those players were. So if it's Bernard, I mean, can those three players completely replace all three of those? You might argue that. I mean, Kurt Bernard could become a utility player. He's been playing long enough. He could probably learn some stuff, but would they want to turn to him? And Bernard did, I think, get a little bit of first base when he did play, and I don't think it was that great. I can't remember exactly, though, but cheers indeed, Eric. I want to talk about the prospect that we've never really talked about because Renee later in her in her piece talks about Zach Veen, and we already just talked about Zach Veen, so we're not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about this again, but you can go and check this out, rockiespitch.substack.com, to find what we're reading from. But before we dive into that, check this out. Folks, this is the Locked On Rockies podcast. You can get more sports action with the Locked On Sports Today podcast if you want to get your look at all sorts of sports, the world of sports, from all sorts of your favorite Locked On hosts. You can check it out there. We're still reading from Rockies Pitch, a Colorado Rockies baseball newsletter from Renee Descart. And here's a prospect we have not talked about, and his name is Brenton Doyle. Perhaps you haven't been paying much attention to Brenton Doyle, but you should. The Rockies drafted Doyle in the fourth round of the 2019 draft out of Shepherd University, a D2 school. He's described by MLB Pipeline as a super toolsy and athletic outfielder. And did Renee mention, he won a gold glove for his center field defensive work. However, Doyle's work at the plate has been uneven. For example, he led the Pioneer League in OPS in 2019, but was then a bit uneven and struggled early with the Yard Goats. Plus, he strikes out too much. Still, he excelled from mid-June until the end of the 2022 season. Doyle had a slugging of .450, a .737 OPS, and hit 29 home runs, 26 of them in pitcher-friendly Hartford. Doyle also stole 23 bases. In his October 18, 2022 newsletter, Thomas Harding wrote this of Brenton Doyle. There was even internal consideration of bringing him to the majors for the final days. The Rockies seek a center fielder to boost the major league lineup at the start of 2023, but the future could be in the system. While most eyes are on Veen, Doyle could earn his shot first. In other words, Doyle is close. Why would the Rockies sign a center fielder when Doyle is almost MLB ready? It would make more sense to let Daza, a perfectly serviceable center fielder, start in center field, center with plans to promote Doyle quickly. And again, if the Rockies sign a center fielder, it would clog the way for Doyle. So there's an interesting thing. I haven't talked too much about Doyle. I don't really like the high strikeout numbers that Renee points out there, but I do like a slugging percentage of .450 and .737 with 29 home runs and 23 stolen bases. What I really like about Doyle and Veen are those stolen bases. I think this is something the Rockies really are going to be able to start using if they want to commit and go with these prospects. This is going to be something the Rockies are going to be able to use to their advantage, especially if they're going to be able to hit for contact and get hitters that drive the ball into the gaps of Coors Field. It's a hit and run machine place. If you have speedy base stealers that can get on base by hitting a single, or getting the ball in play and getting on first, nabbing second, or using hit and runs where they're putting the ball in play and sending runners in motion, that's going to be a massive, massive, massive improvement and benefit for the Rockies. If you are going to be able to outrun and make it a pain in the butt to keep up with the Rockies, because the Rockies are going to be accumulated to moving and grooving and running and base stealing and being aggressive at Coors Field, you're going to burn out teams when they come to 20th and Blake. So there's probably a lot more to Brenton Doyle, the more in there. So the high strikeout percentage we've seen from a bit, but maybe that could work. I wouldn't be surprised. This sounds like a name that we'll have to ask our friends at Locked On MLB Prospects about, and it sounds like a name that we will need to keep an eye out for come springtime. So this all points out to really interesting options for the Rockies. I mean, they really do have a lot of outfield options. Is that, are you more confident in these prospects? Do you want to buy into these prospects than trying to go out and get a Brandon Nimmo? Is that where the money is going to go? Or are the Rockies trying to use that money as the leverage to bring better pitching talent into the system? When they are looking at their current state, is it better for the Rockies to say, okay, we have the position players, we have the outfield, at least pieces of the outfield that we think are pretty good or at least serviceable, do we want to use more of our money and use more of our things to go after starting and relief pitching? That kind of seems to be the more likely path for the Rockies. I mean, they did go after Chris Bryant, but they, like we said, there are other things there. They were looking for a superstar name as well. Chris Bryant's factoring in for the outfield is a really interesting thing as well. So we will have to see. I mean, the winter meetings, we're going to have to see what starts brewing about the Rockies and what people start pointing out to in terms of free agency. I know the World Series is going on. It's been a great World Series as well. I haven't watched too much. I've been just kind of following through socials. I know that's bad, but I do a lot of baseball stuff, and so sometimes it's tough. But, I've been watching here and there. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Rockies, how they start approaching their offseason. I don't think the Rockies will do nothing. I just think maybe the Rockies are really reevaluating their outfield approach because of what they already have. And I just wanted to go with Renee's closing thoughts here. She suspects the Rockies had a plan involving the next window, but their player development, especially Zach Veen's, is forcing them to rethink their strategy. To be clear, the Rockies are going to make some minor moves, and they're going to tell us they intend to compete, but 2023 should be about two things: letting young players get experienced and working out the pitching jam in which they find themselves. I don't expect Zach Veen to break spring training with the Rockies. I think he's headed to Albuquerque, but I expect him to be called up early in the season because, let's face it, Zach Veen is beating on the doors of Coors Field, and the Rockies absolutely need to let him in. That's a great, great point. I think that's there. Maybe I think Veen continues to improve, and if he wins like MVP at the Fall League, he might break camp. But that's an interesting point. But Veen will be with the Rockies. There's lots of interesting things for the Rockies when it comes to the outfield. And Eric Harper in the live chat says, Paul, who would you like to see as our right fielder? If the Rockies don't go after anyone, I think it's going to be a mix. I'd like the Rockies to continue to use Bouchard. I'd like the Rockies to continue to use Tolia. And, Grichik is a fine, serviceable option there. I think Grichik's probably going to be more consistently the starter just because of veteran service. But we'll see if he's more going to be relegated. It all depends on what pans out. I just don't think Charlie Blackman needs to be playing a lot of left field. I'd be curious to see how Chris Bryant would feel about moving over there and then maybe getting a little more quick, a little more speed over there in left. But I think when going forward, you're going to see Jonathan Daza taking center field, at least for now. So, Eric, to answer your question, anyone that isn't Charlie Blackman, really just because I want Charlie to hit and I want the Rockies to get these guys, like Renee even mentioned, get these guys. If you're not going to go after a big name in free agency this year and decide to commit to these players and use this year as more time for them to be MLB ready, yet let the young guys play. Bouchard, let it be Tolia, let it be, whoever else, Veen, let it be, anybody, let it be Doyle. Let's figure out what we have with this glut of right fielders. And then you have Charlie Blackmon and Connor Joe that can fill that in there. And again, Chris Bryant. I really would be interested to see Chris Bryant, you know, shifting over and if that's his position or really what. I don't know much about Chris Bryant because we haven't gotten to see a lot about Chris Bryant. So we'll see what the Rockies do there. But folks, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Rockies. Thank you so much for making us your first listen of the day and for tuning in. When you subscribe to Locked On Rockies on YouTube, you help the show grow. And when you tell your friends about Locked On Rockies, you help the show grow because we got a great crew of Rockies fans that make this show awesome and wonderful. You can follow us on Twitter at LO Rockies. You can follow me at PaulHolden33. You can find us on YouTube at Locked On Rockies. Now that you made us your first listen of the day, go make Locked On Sports Today your second listen of the day and stay up to date with all things Colorado sports with the Locked On Broncos, Locked On Avalanche, and Locked On Nuggets podcast. And until next time, this is Paul Holden saying so long from the Locked On Rockies podcast.